We have an opportunity that most of the world has not a clue. Even among God's people, they have not a clue. Even among God's faithful saints have not a clue at what we are able to participate in this school. To put time aside and dwell into the Word of God. Iron sharpeneth iron. To get the deep things out of the Word of God. Brother Doug mentioned that he met with a pastor of a missionary Baptist church and they didn't even know what a missionary Baptist was. My partner Russ came into my office many years ago and he was literally white as a sheep. He had a missionary Baptist in his office, pastor. And Russ said, "I can't believe I defended your faith." I said, "What happened?" He started telling me what missionary Baptists believe, and I had to stop him and tell him, "No, missionary Baptists don't believe that. I know what missionary Baptists believe. Mike's a missionary Baptist. He uses the Bible. What are you doing? You're not a missionary Baptist." We have an opportunity to dwell into the Word of God. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it casually. And the reason I've spent the entire first quarter on the fundamentals of the Bible being the Word of God and being dictation is this is the foundation. If you don't get this down, everything else is weak. And normally when we discuss this topic of the Word of God, we go the ideation theory, the inspiration theory, the superintendence theory, the dictation theory, and there's four or five verses thrown out for each one. And it gives the illusion that dictation and superintendence and ideation and inspiration are all viable options. It's not even close. It's not even close. We've spent an entire quarter digging into these verses and establishing that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. It's not a title, it is a description. This is the Word of God. If you understand that what you have access to in your hand is as important as those tablets that Moses came off the mountain with, this is the same. He didn't guide Paul. He didn't inspire Isaiah. He gave them their words. If you get that, then your faith will be strong. I went through a situation today. I needed prayer. My foundations were getting shaken. I stood here. My root was here. Whatever failed me was here. I was bedrock, driven down. And by the end of the day, he delivered me yet again. Delivered me yet again. Not because what I was reading was inspired. Not because what I was reading was superintended. Not because of what I was reading was aspirational. But what I was reading and trusting and depending upon was indeed the very Word of God. Something to hold on to. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 23. It's amazing we have to spend time to establish this. But we have man and his ideas and his logic and his humanism that we just have to somehow elevate man in there. Man has to have something to do with it. Well, look what David said here. 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 and 2, you know him. Now these be the last words of David. Oh, we're going to hear the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, so David's talking, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, oh, now this is what David says. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. What did David say? The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. Now, if you stop there, you could throw in superintendent, you could throw in ideation, you could throw in inspiration, you could throw them all in there if it just simply said, the Spirit of God spake by me. And his word was in my tongue. That leaves out superintendence, that leaves out aspiration, leaves out inspiration. It only leaves dictation. His word was in my tongue. It wasn't the psalm. We get, because of our familiarity, we understand what we mean when we say, Paul said, Peter said, David said. We understand that we mean the Holy Spirit spoke through, but when we say that so often, we begin to say, well, maybe David really did say that. That was David's idea. That was Isaiah's idea. No, this is God's idea, and he used him like he used a pen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse you know very well. Verse number 21. For the prophecy came not in old time of the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That verse has been butchered so many times, because man has taken the word mood and then extrapolated whatever they wanted out of it. You can use the word mood to have any of those theories around there, but if you look up the word mood, it really means used, as a man was used by the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Acts 1, verse 16. If you get this down that the Bible is indeed the very Word of God, you will have the ability to write and divide the Word. You will have a strong understanding. Your wisdom will be deep, and your faith will be strong. But if you go off of this, hold your finger here in Acts, but look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You know the parable about the guy who built his house upon the sand, the house upon the rock. Well, what is that talking about? Let's take a look at it. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not the scribes. What was the basis of that parable? What was the point? Hearing the word of God, and doing it. Hearing my sayings. We use that parable so often, but what we really need to understand is it's the very Word of God. If you build your life on the Word of God, you got something. If you obey the Word of God, you got something. Because it really doesn't believe, doesn't matter how you believe it, this is the Word of God, and you're going to be held accountable for it. Well, I didn't really think that you meant Paul to say that. That's not the way I understood John to say that. Doesn't matter what you think. It is the very Word of God. And you will be judged by it. Not what Paul said, not what John said, but what the Word of God said. Now flip back to Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. Did you see how the Holy Spirit moved there? Holy men of God spake as they were moved. The Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake. The Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake. His words were in my mouth. His words were in my mouth. Look at Acts chapter 28. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah, the prophet, unto our fathers. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah. Who is the book of Isaiah really authored by? Isaiah or the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit used David. Holy Spirit used Isaiah. Holy Spirit used Paul. Holy Spirit used John. Holy Spirit used every one of these individuals that penned the Word of God. For what end? Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 20 and 21. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? Let that sink in. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? How'd you get saved? You had to come to a point where you trusted in the certainty of the Word of God. The certainty of the Word of God. The certainty. Why is this the indeed the Word of God? Because he wrote it, excellent things and counsels of knowledge. So that we may know the certainty of the words of truth. Mm-hmm. The words of truth. We spend time like in a God is truth, cannot lie. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Now watch for what purpose? That thou mightest answer, wait for it, the words of truth to them that send unto thee. I could care less what any of us think about the Word of God. The only thing that matters is the Word of God. But we can know the certainty of the words of truth, that we may be able to answer the words of truth to anyone that sends for us. And it only comes when you understand this is indeed the very Word of God. Look at John chapter 6. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Word of God is unlike any other book you will ever read in your life. You may get inspired and uplifted by reading a novel. It won't change your spirit. It won't change your heart. In fact, there's only one thing that can reach your soul. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God, not Paul's words, not Peter's words, the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the only thing that can divide soul and spirit. The only thing that can divide soul and spirit. What's that?
So that's why people don't want to believe it.
Yeah, they want to excuse it away, find a way to diminish it, lessen its effectiveness. Yes. Oh, by the way, Brother Jim, do you have a cough drop?
It's an amazing thing that you think on how powerful and how sharp the Word is, that we have the ability to separate soul and spirit. Nothing on this earth can do that besides that.
Yeah.
Not even death itself can separate soul and spirit. But God's Word can.
But God's Word
can. Yeah.
Thank you.
How powerful is this? It changes your entire life. It changes your entire eternity. Here's one for you. Do you know what we're going to take into eternity? Our knowledge of the Word of God.
Yep.
What I studied in fifth grade ain't going to help. In fact, I don't even remember the name of my fifth grade teacher. Most of the classes I took, I can't remember the teacher or the topic. But the Word of God. Do you realize the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 53 will still be valid in the millennial. It'll still be the same in the new city. You realize when we're walking next to that river that flows from the throne in the new city, we'll still be saying John 3:16 and knowing exactly what John 3:16 is. Why? Well, look at Matthew chapter 23, or 24, Matthew 24. Look at verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Not Paul's words, not David's words. My words won't pass away. We'll still be singing praises to Psalms 23. My words will not pass away. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Well, that's what that says in the New Testament. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. He said it in the Old Testament. He said it in the New Testament. Now look at Psalms 95. Psalms 95, the verses 7 and 8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Today, if you will hear his voice. Was he talking audibly to everybody? Hold your finger here. Look back at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake. He spoke. His voice. He spoke. He did what? He spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Do you see consistency here? One of the fundamental principles of rightly dividing the Word of God is the harmony of the Scriptures is without contradiction. Psalms 95, verse 7 says, today if you will hear his voice. He wasn't speaking audibly to him. How is he speaking? Well, Hebrews 1, verse 1 tells us, he spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He spoke by the prophets. And then we just read over in Acts where the Holy Spirit spoke by Isaiah. Over and over and over and over. Time and time again. We have the same message. And yet for so many years we have people promoting superintendence theory. ideation theory, inspiration. When the Word of God, you know what the best commentary on the Bible is? The Word of God. And it'll tell you how you got the Word of God. It is indeed His Word, His voice. Now, why is this so hard to believe? I like going to plays. I like going to Broadway and see plays. I've seen Les Miserables several times. I've seen it on Broadway. I've seen it locally. And every time it's the same words. And these actors memorize it. And they get up and they perform it. Phantom of the Opera. Same thing. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 14. This is an interesting occasion here. Brother Trent, how's your voice? Mine's going failing.
Do my best.
Okay, can you read verses 1 through 21?
Second thought.
I understand.
2 Samuel 14, 1 through 21?
Yeah.
Okay. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoah and fetched hence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner and put on now mourning apparel. And anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead, and come to the king and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. And when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did
obeisance,
and said, Help, O king. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead. And thy handmaid had two sons, and they too strove together in the field, and there was none to part them. But the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid. And they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him. For the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also. And so they shall quench my coal, which is left. It shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. And the king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee. And the woman of Tekoah said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me, and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. And the king said, Whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me. And he shall not touch thee any more. Then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldest not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he said, As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. Then the woman said, Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king. And he said, Say on. And the woman said, Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, and that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Now therefore, that I am come to speak of these things unto my lord the king, it is because the people have made me afraid. And the handmaid said, I will now speak unto the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid. For the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Then thine handmaid said, The word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable, for as an angel of God, so is my Lord the King to discern good and bad. Therefore, the Lord thy God will be with thee. Then the king answered and said unto the woman, Hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, Let my lord the king now speak. And the king said, Is not the hand of Joab with thee in all of this? And the woman answered and said, As thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king hath spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me, and he put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid. To fetch about this form of speech hath thy servant Joab done this thing. And my lord is wise, according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. And the king said unto Joab, Behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again.
Thank you very much. For some reason, we can understand that actors can memorize the entire play of Shakespeare. And Shakespeare can put his words in every actor's mouth. We understand that Mel Brooks can do the same, Andrew Lloyd Webber can do the same. Joab, and the reason why I had 20 verses read, this is a long discourse of Tekoa. And we can understand that Joab put his words in Tekoa's mouth. And we can understand that, even though it's lengthy. Look at verse number 3 here. And come to the king, and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. Now, how come we can understand that a man can put his words in another man's mouth, but somehow God can't do that? And Joab used the woman to feign that she was mourning, but God couldn't use Matthew, couldn't use Luke, couldn't use John, because they said, from their perspective, Oh, really? What was Tekoa doing? Speaking from her perspective, Joab used her. Put his words in her mouth. Look at verse 19. And the king said, Is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? And the woman answered and said, As thy soul liveth, my lord king, none can turn to the right hand nor to the left from aught that my lord the king hath spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me, and he put most of these, some of these, what? He put all these words in the mouth of thy handmaid. Verse 3 says, he put his words in her mouth. She said, he put all these words in my mouth. And why read 21 verses? To let you understand how lengthy that discourse that Joab gave her. And if Tekoa can recite what Joab gave to her, you don't think God should enable a man to speak what the Holy Spirit told him to write, to speak? Remember Jeremiah chapter 36 where we started with this thing? Now, just bring it home and just drive it down. And this verse is the capper of all cappers. John chapter 12. This should make you shout for glory and make you study the Bible. And every time you do, go, Thank you, God, for giving me your word. John chapter 12, verse 48. We know that verse very well. Why? Because it's impactful. We're all going to be responsible to it. Verse 48, John chapter 12. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What's that?
Run and hide all you want.
Yeah, run and hide all you want. What's going to judge us?
The Word. The Word that Jesus spoke. My Word. We're not down to looking here. Look at this 49. Watch what happens now. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. Wait a minute. The Savior Jesus Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, he had a commandment from the Father to speak exactly what the Father told him. You mean the Father himself put the words in Jesus' mouth? Yeah, just like Joab did to Tekoa. Just like the Holy Spirit did to David. Just like the Holy Spirit did to Isaiah. God the Father did to Jesus. Why is his words judging us? Because it is the Word of God. Not Jesus in human form. Did he really mean that it was the Word of God? No wiggle room. Verse 48 and 49 together. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Because, that's what the word for means, because I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Why is this so important to drive this down? It's not superintendent, this is not inspirational, it's not aspirational. Because his word is life everlasting. It is spirit, it is life. There's no wiggle room. He didn't keep Paul from making a mistake. He used Paul to deliver his word. If he gave the commandment to Jesus what he should say, what he should speak, doesn't that just drive it down and seal it? I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. There you go. Done. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jeremiah said, I'm shut up. Now you go read it in the congregation. Read what? The Word of God that he delivered. Jesus said the same thing. Let's end and ask a blessing on the refreshment.